Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
The U.S. government has shut down. The effects are felt here in Central Florida. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. 47,000 federal employees in Central Florida are working without pay or furloughed on temporary leave because the federal government is shut down. Many government agencies are required to stop operations because there's no money authorized for them to operate. However, essential workers like TSA agents must show up even though they won't get paid until the shutdown is over.
We don't know when we're going to get paid. We don't know when the government is going to come back. They're going to do a continuing resolution, whatever, but we're very worried about what's happening.
How federal workers here in Central Florida are feeling the government shutdown. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these news headlines. Tens of thousands of federal workers are affected by the government shutdown. In Florida, the impacts are also felt by the homeowners of more than 1 million homes. FEMA's National Flood Insurance Program is forced to freeze mid-hurricane season due to the funding stop. Around 1.8 million policyholders in Florida will see a lapse in coverage. During the shutdown, the program cannot renew or take in new policies. Also, its ability to pay out any claims filed will be drastically limited. Additionally, the Insurance Information Institute says an estimated 1,300 real estate closings per day that require flood insurance could also be affected. A new report finds Florida is number one for school book bans for the third year in a row. WUSF's Douglas Soule explains.
Free speech group PEN America defines a book ban as any time a book is restricted or removed from a school library. The group says this happened more than 2,300 times in Florida last school year. Report co-author Sabrina Baeta is not surprised.
It's the third year that Florida is top book banning state in the country, which anybody who's been paying attention to this knows that a lot of the book banning tactics are starting in Florida and then are actually influencing how books are banned across the country.
The most targeted book in Florida last year was the classic A Clockwork Orange. Also in the top 10 was the Wicked book that spawned the musical and the popular fantasy romance, A Court of Mist and Fury. Recent Florida laws led to the removals and restrictions, but Governor Ron DeSantis takes issue with the term book ban and says school districts are removing inappropriate books. I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
The Orange County School Board voted this week to start the transfer of the former Hungerford School property to Dr. Phillips Charities. Central Florida Public Media's education reporter Danielle Pryor explains Dr. Phillips Charities will pay the district over $1 million for the former school site.
Per the agreement, Dr. Phillips and Eatonville will work together on a four-year plan to develop the more than 100 acres into a community garden, early learning center, and community hub. Although Eatonville residents are split on the land deal and most of the Eatonville Town Council disapprove of it, the school board voted unanimously to approve the transfer. Mayor Angie Gardner says she's celebrating what she sees as a better future for the town of Eatonville through this first step, the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding.
But if we truly want what's best for our town, if we truly want to move forward, if we want retail, if we want jobs, if we want an early learning center, if we want those things that we have stated that we have wanted, this is a pretty great opportunity that we should not pass by at this moment.
Dr. Phillips and the town of Eatonville will form an advisory council of residents and town council members to flesh out next steps. Danielle Pryor, Central Florida Public Media.
These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The Wrap Inbox Edition is your Wednesday digest of what matters most in Central Florida. The weekly newsletter delivers the top headlines, original reporting, and a handy guide to Central Florida Public Media events, all presented in a format that's quick and easy to read. It's the perfect companion to this, The Wrap Podcast. Sign up at cfpublic.org/The Wrap. .47,000 federal employees in Central Florida are working without pay or furloughed on temporary leave because the federal government is shut down. Essential workers like the TSA agents you see at the airport must show up even though they won't get paid until the shutdown is over. Many employee unions are calling on Congress to end the shutdown immediately so their federal workers and their families don't pay the price. That includes John Hubert, the American Federation of Government Employees local president representing TSA workers in Florida. He's one of the essential workers still showing up to work because airports in the state can't afford for him not to. He spoke with Central Florida Public Media's Engage host, Sharon Stone.
The workforce is scared to death to say anything. They are worried about like their finances during a shutdown, how detrimental it could be. I had a member call me yesterday telling me that they won't pay their rent because they know it's going to be a shutdown. So that's something that you have to think about now because they don't know if they're going to be paid. They don't know how long the shutdown is going to go this time. I mean, because it looks like both sides are like, you know, at odds. And in that interim, the federal workforce always suffers. We're the ones just waiting on the sideline. We continue to do our job and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when we're going to get paid. We don't know when the government is going to come back. They're going to do a continuing resolution, whatever. But we're very worried about what's happening. I sense the fear of the members. They don't know what's going to happen. It's been threats that, you know, if you don't show up to work, you may be terminated. You know, obviously, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's out there. So people are scared if they don't come to work, they'll be removed, things like that. So, you know, it's one of those type of things. There's a lot of uncertainty going around.
I know this isn't your first encounter with a government shutdown. And during the 35-day shutdown, 2018 to 2019, you were helping other TSA workers getting essentials going to food banks. Is there anything different this time, or does this feel like deja vu? Are you planning differently?
No, I'm not planning differently. As a matter of fact, I am planning and anticipating a long shutdown because of the political climate that's going on right now. It doesn't seem that, you know, nobody's willing to step in one direction. And in the middle of that, since our jobs, by virtue of being a federal employee, we have to wait because Congress actually controls the purse and controls our paycheck. So we really need them to get everything together and make sure to come up with something so we are paid, because the regular American citizen and a regular American worker doesn't understand, why wouldn't you get paid? Yeah, we don't get paid until Congress decides to pay us. So it's very stressful. And I'm trying to explain that to our family members, the uncertainty. And we just have to keep our head up and we have to keep on going. So
when we're talking about TSA and air traffic controllers and agents, are you all considered essential? Would the expectation be for you to go to work and not get paid?
Yes, the TSA workforce is considered essential workforce. So we have to come into work regardless of the situation if there is a shutdown. Now, obviously, everybody has personal issues going on, but it's something that we have to do during a shutdown. And it's very difficult to be able to do that when you're not certain if you're going to get your next paycheck.
Who do you hold responsible for this impasse? What would you say to those elected representatives on the Hill?
I would say to the elected officials on the Hill, you know, although we're not as well off as them, but they still have to understand that we're Americans and we need their help. We need them to just do their job and pay us what we deserve. We can't continue to come to work without pay. That's impossible. So we need the federal government and we need Congress to act and vote. And vote for us for our paychecks. We show up no matter what. We're there when you need us to fulfill all the functions as the federal workforce. So why aren't you there for us when we need to get paid? And you said it's essential. Well, how come it's not essential for us to be paid?
Are you getting any guidance from the federal government?
Every agency is doing it a little different. The VA is doing it different from Social Security. TSA is doing it different from the Bureau of Prisons. So it's a lot of different agencies, a lot of different guidance going on out there. And people are very confused because for the most part, they're very uncertain and they're fearful, you know, that something could happen in the interim. They could probably lose their job, you know, and that's always a concern.
John, how do you talk about this with your family?
Well, my family's been through a couple of shutdowns already, and they pretty much know around what time of year, which is crazy. My kids know what time of year they vote on a fiscal budget, and my kids are very young. But yeah, my family already knows that, you know, we just have to grind. And we just have to keep on doing what we need to do. I prepare as much as I possibly can for anticipation of not being paid. So I'm good for maybe a month or two. After that, it's going to become very difficult to be able to maintain my mortgage, my payments for my gas bill, my light bill, my car bill, my insurance. You know, it just compounds and everything compounds and nobody cares about your situation as a federal employee. As a matter of fact, they were giving out furlough notices a long time ago to give to your landlords and stuff like that. I mean, that doesn't carry much weight when they want their money. So at the end of the day, I just hope Congress does their job and gets the federal workforce paid. That's all we need. We just need you to do what you say, that we're essential or we're essential workers, is essential to pay us also. I thought the federal workforce was supposed to be the standard of employment of this country, but now it has turned to a political issue. And I think that the American public needs to know that the same people you see every single day that have to go to work every single day like you are federal employees too.
That was John Hubert, the American Federation of Government Employees local president representing TSA workers in Florida, speaking with Engage host Sharon Stone. Also on Engage this week, lawmakers from both sides of the aisle on the shutdown.
This is about ensuring that people in our districts and working families across the country don't get letters that tell them that their health insurance is going up anywhere from 50 to 300%. This is about making sure that 17 million Americans don't get kicked off of their health insurance in the next year. And this is about the fact that this president and this Congress, led by Republicans, have put forth a funding bill that will ensure that people pay more for their health care and in many cases lose their health care.
We're just simply saying, hey, in order to keep the government open, we need 7 more weeks to try to negotiate these very important issues. But there's a difference between the budget and making sure that people who have already paid taxes get the services they deserve and a policy decision that we need to make with issues like health care.
Hear more from Democratic Congressman Maxwell Frost and Republican Congressman Mike Haradopoulos. That's on Engage. Get it wherever you get this podcast. That's it for the wrap this week, but stay listening. Next week marks 1 year since Hurricane Milton. We'll hear from residents on how they're doing a year after the storm. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.